This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to have our good friend Scott Hinkey back with us on-site consulting. It is onsitedenver.com. That's O-N-S-I-T-E denver.com. Their number 720-482-8383. Scott, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you again.
Man, is it hard to believe we're here almost in this last part of the year already?
I know. God, no. It's still, hot today,
yeah,
in Denver, which is unbelievable. You know, sometimes it's snowing in Denver. We, yep, never know what it's going to be like this year, but it's been good.
It's been good for sure. We live in a beautiful state. Well, what's been going on in the computer world? What are folks, anything new folks are coming in with, problems that you're like, wow, I've never seen that before? Probably not.
You know, I've been doing this for 40 years, and so I've seen a lot of things, but sometimes you don't see them now. Like, for instance, we're fixing somebody's XP computer. They have a piece of software that's thousands of dollars and it will only work on an XP computer. So we have to find an old computer that'll support XP. We found out that ones that are 15 years old don't. We have to go back further and find one older that we could load XP on. Then we have to find drivers, which makes the sound and the video work. And I used to do this 15 years ago, but I haven't done it in that long. So the guys in the office are like, okay, now how do you find a Windows XP driver to run your Ethernet? So that thing. But we've got another computer I just worked on this morning that's a Windows 7 computer. And I had to go through this rigmarole, mm-hmm, to find an older computer that would support Windows 7 to get everything loaded so we can move this guy's program over to another Windows 7 computer. So the kind of things like that. But that's a good thing of longevity, as I've seen this before.
Sure.
It was a decade ago,
yeah,
but I've seen this before. And, you know, we've got a good staff, and they're all trained with a lot of stuff, mostly the newer stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I have to show them, okay, on XP, this is how you did this, and this is how you did this.
So what did a laptop, or we'll say a computer, what did a computer run when you first started? I don't even
Oh, like $2,000.
I mean, I thought they were quite a bit.
$2,000 for like a Pentium 1 computer. And then, of course, it goes down in price. And back then, they didn't have trackpads. They had a ball.
Mm-hmm.
The original ones had a track ball on the thing in there, and you had to roll that. And before that, they didn't even have that. You know, you had to just use DOS. That means use your little arrow keys and go up and down and left and right. So,
wow.
It's been a long time working with computers, and things change all the time.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and I mention that because, hey, Scott said 40 years. These guys just got a great award recently.
Oh, yeah. We got number one IT company in Colorado from the most prestigious company or magazine in Colorado, Colorado Biz Magazine. They feature a lot of businesses and a lot of community things and people who give to the community. And we're number one IT company. So we beat every IT company in Colorado.
And there's a lot.
There's a lot of people. And I'm really proud of that. You know, we want to keep up to that level of customer service that we've had in the past. We have a lot of employees. It makes me feel funny because I have to pay a lot of people in today's payday. You know, we've got 9 employees that we pay, and they're great, and they love computers, and they love helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of got us to that point. We don't think of this as a job, but we want to just a service or a ministry to somebody. Hey, I want to help you out of this mess. And the mess that people are mostly in is everything's crashed, like everything is gone, and or they've been scammed. You know, there's, mm-hmm, so many scams out there now that are just trickier and trickier. And I have one, I was just looking at it. It said Allstate claim. You need to log into your Allstate account to settle your claim or something like that. And I recently, somebody hit me who had Allstate. So I thought this was the same thing. You know, you kind of just assume that, but you really got to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You know, and it's like, this is nothing to do with my car. I already settled that claim. Why would they come to me again after they've already paid me for hitting my car?
Right.
So you just got to think things through and don't instinctively just click on the button, click download, mm-hmm, and then your computer's infected.
Absolutely. Again, Scott Hinkey is with us. It is On-Site Consulting. Their address is 6446 East Hamden Avenue in Denver. And, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of things we all need fixed, but usually I assume when everybody walks in, you've probably never heard this where they're like, oh, hey, just keep it as long as you need it, you know, just let me know when it's ready. I mean, people are, they want it back like in 5 minutes.
Right. We usually do, we have fast service period anyway. One of our competitors in town has a 3-week waiting period before they will look at your computer. Because they look at, you know, people, when things go wrong, they go to the biggest store that's next to their house. Mm-hmm. And they're 3 weeks before they will turn it on, which is nuts. So we have usually a 48-hour turnaround, so that's really good. And we even have a priority service. We didn't used to do this, but we found out people will pay. There's a place in town that's $200 or $250 to be put in the front of the queue, and the technician drops everything and works on your computer, which you think is crazy. So ours is $100, but people will pay it. And I was surprised, and we'll be glad to drop everything if you want us to. Sure. But, you know, we get things back pretty fast.
Right. So I guess we could say it this way. You fix, you refurbish, and really kind of build from the ground up a custom computer if someone wants
one. Right. We do pretty much the whole gambit of things, from tutoring. We even have somebody who just sits with you that explains your computer. I had a lady the other day. This was funny because I was on the phone with her for almost a half an hour figuring out what I said, go to the box. She didn't know how to turn off her computer. Okay. She kept pushing the off button, the physical button. And I said, well, that's not really the way to do it. You got to go to the bottom. What bottom? Okay. The bottom left-hand corner where there's four little squares and that's the Windows symbol. You're going to click on that. She goes, oh, well, mine's in the middle of the screen. Okay. I said, well, like Windows 11 puts it on the middle of the bar. I said, I don't think, well, whatever. Just click on those four little squares and a menu is going to come up and you go to shutdown. There is no menu. And when she got really frustrated, and I was getting frustrated, and she brought it in, and she was clicking on the giant desktop picture on one of the Windows backgrounds. It has a Windows symbol. It's like a blue and white symbol that represents Windows on your background screen, you know, not clouds or the cat. It's got a Windows thing. So she was clicking on the middle of the screen because it had the Windows symbol that I was talking about. So anyway, but it took, you know, we work with people, tutoring,
right,
and we fix stuff. We've got one of the fastest and best repair shops in town. And
does your rate go by age?
No.
Between people always 40 ask and that. 50, this much an hour. Yeah. Over 50, this much an hour.
Oh, we should do that.
Yeah.
No, people always ask for a senior discount. I said, are you kidding me? We're faster and better than anybody. We're half price of everybody else. You're getting your discount. They said, well, okay. And they drop it off anyway. But, yeah, we fix stuff. We have a refurbished section. So that means, you know, a lot of computers, you don't need to buy a new computer every single 5 years.
Okay.
You could refurbish it just by putting in a new hard drive, doing updates, the newest operating system and stuff at a lot cheaper price. But some people just want to refurbish their computers, and we buy these from auctions and government and schools and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we'll fix them up and sell them for usually half to a third of the price of a new computer. Right. Some people don't need the fanciest thing out there. So, you know, anywhere from, let's say, $200. So $600. You can get a new computer, high-speed drive, Windows 10, i5, i7. But we've also started building computers. So, you know, we know how to fix a broken computer and a refurbished computer. Of course, we know how to fix a brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
So we go buy the parts, put it together, and you can have a top-of-the-line computer for less than what you get at a retail store, plus higher quality parts. So in a store, they'll put in a 230-watt power supply. That's the thing that puts all the electricity in your computer.
Right.
And when the power spikes happen, those can go bad. We put in a 500 watt, which is twice as good as the other one. We have a lifetime warranty on our memory. Okay, memory doesn't go bad that often, so we put a lifetime warranty on there. And all this at about the same price as one you'd buy at the store. So custom-built computer, let's say somebody wants 16 gigs or they want two hard drives or three hard drives, a special video card, like if you're a gamer. The video card itself is what costs probably half of the price of the computer.
Okay.
So like a $700 video card, they've got ones for now over $1,000 just so you can play your little Fortnite game in your basement, right, with none of your friends because you don't have any friends. But we could take the custom computer, sure, buy whatever video card you want and put it in there, and you'll have a really high-speed computer available for you.
So what's the most memory?
128 gigs we've put in somebody's computer. Don't know why. Anybody would need that. Other than gaming, if you do like stock quotes and you have six screens on your computer, six, not three, but six screens, maybe you'd come close to needing 128 gigs of memory. But most people don't need that. You know, with the high-speed drives, it's almost like a high-speed, that everything's high-speed.
What's an average computer come with?
Eight.
Oh.
Yeah. And you can get by with four. Like my computer at my office, I've got eight in there, and I try to see if I can max it out. You know, when I'm bored, I open up every program just to see what my little meter says. And I'm up to about five. You don't need more than eight.
Gotcha.
People think, if I have 16, I'll work faster. Well, not really. If you have 32, I'll work faster. Well, I don't know if you're really going to do that. You know.
Right.
And a lot of these people type with two fingers anyway. You're only going to type so fast, no matter how much memory you put into a computer. But some people want the newest, best possible thing. And
sure.
We'll build that for you if you want us to.
Absolutely. Once again, Scott Hinke is our guest. It's On-Site Consulting. Non-geeky guys who can communicate. Hey, that's their tagline. And I promise you, this is a great company. We've been using them for many, many years. And they would love to help you. And Scott's always super kind in helping all of our listeners. So give them a call if you've got any questions or problems. 720-482-8383. Now, you mentioned parts, and I've just been thinking back all these last couple of years and, you know, the automotive guys waiting on chips, different things like that. Has there been a problem along the way over these last few years in getting parts?
There were parts getting video cards all through COVID because everybody didn't go to work. Everybody stayed at home, needed more than one monitor, and they're playing video games. Like kids are playing video games and adults are playing video games and senior citizens are playing video games. I need a better video card. There was a rush on video cards. You had lines out of the local store here for people waiting till the doors open to get a card if they had any in stock. It's really kind of weird. Prices have just started jumping for the high-speed drives. They jumped 50% or 100%. They doubled in price. Oh, doesn't make any sense. And then some of the processors, I just read an article that in October, the Intel processors, when you hear i5, i7, those are Intel processors. And those are going to jump up considerably, like 40% in October.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just starting to hit.
Right. And then I was asking you about scams before we came on air here, of what you're seeing. And a lot of these come in email forms, some of them pop-ups. Are most of them pop-ups that get people in trouble, or is it kind of a 50-50 deal?
It's 50-50. People get an email, and it says Microsoft, must be true. It says Wells Fargo Bank, must be true. I haven't had Wells Fargo for 2 years, but, you know, that doesn't, you know, you got to think this through. Do I even have Wells Fargo? But the same thing, these pop-ups will come up all the time, and there's a lot of really common ones. We could talk about that in a minute, but people just click on it. Whatever it is on my screen that pops up, I'm going to click on it, and I'm going to do it. That doesn't make any sense, okay? If somebody came to your front door and said, you need to buy this, you don't necessarily buy it. You got to think twice.
Right. So on emails real quick, and then we'll take a break and come back. On emails real quick, what are just some things? If you put the email comes up, as you scan that email, what are just a few of the things that you're looking for to see if that's a legit email? Because some of them are pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to use the logos from the company, and that's what catches your attention if it says Microsoft. But you'll notice that the logo's not right. Like there's a one for Best Buy, and it's not the Best Buy logo. It just says Best Buy. Also look at the return address. If it has a Gmail address, it's not that person, you know, or AOL.
Good point, yeah. All right. Once again, On-Site Consulting, we'll come back. We'll talk about pop-ups. And hey, go by and see Scott and his team. They'll be glad to help you. 720-482-8383. OnSiteDenver.com.
Kurt Rogers with Affordable Interest Mortgage. You've heard me for the last 8 years on KLZ, and today, my senior reverse mortgage manager of over 16 years, David Olson, has important information on reverse mortgages.
Thank you, Kurt. I specialize in reverse mortgages, and as a senior of 75 years and owning a reverse mortgage, we face many precarious financial events. Today, we're facing a 40-year high inflation rate. The words inflation and fixed income are not compatible. How do we protect our financial stability in these difficult times? By having access to an increasing home equity line of credit, where your unused portions grow in value. An income stream for life, just like Social Security. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Just call 720-895-0500. Join me for a free, no-obligation conversation, your table or mine, and learn how a reverse mortgage can help you. That's 720-895-0500. David Olson. Relieve some of your financial stress in these trying times. That's 720-895-0500.
NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. we'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, Scott Hinkey is with us. On-site consulting, once again, their location, 6446 East Hamden Avenue, just right off Hamden and I-25 there in the King Supers parking lot. And Scott, just to mention that, man, I mean, when I say easy parking, yeah, King Supers get crowded, yeah. but it is very easy for folks that maybe don't do a lot of walking or whatever. Hey, yeah. Usually you can get a spot right there by your door and just right. Walk right in.
Yeah, I would like to clarify. I used to say we're in the King Supers parking lot, and one person said, "You're in the parking lot?
Oh.
Like, do you have a tent?" I said, "No, we don't have a tent. we're adjacent to the parking lot."
Right. Right. Okay, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, but he actually thought I had a tent in the parking lot, so I'm not there.
All right, good deal. All right, we're talking about these pop-ups and now. So all of a sudden we're all just working line. All of a sudden something pops up, something about you mentioned the antivirus, Norton and
McAfee. So those are the American antivirus programs, by the way. I mean, people hear about them. Peter Norton was this guy that invented antivirus programs like 25 years ago. He used to be on the front of the box and stuff like that. And McAfee is another American company. So people, Americans, see these things a lot. So they thought, oh, it must be true. First, they're not that great. Usually the European antivirus programs are best because that's where all the viruses are being made, in Europe, which is ironic. But one's called Bitdefender. Kaspersky is from Russia, so now they think Russians are hacking into our computers through mm-hmm. Kaspersky. ESET, and there's one called F-Secure, and some other weird names, okay, that most people don't understand. But you get a pop-up that says Norton has expired. You need to do whatever. And so people just click on it, okay? And it's just crazy. You don't have Norton, right? You've never had Norton. And people call us, and they said, I thought you recommended that other European antivirus program. I said, we did. So why am I getting a pop-up for this? I said, because it's a scam. So what it's trying to do is tell you something's expired, like you need to renew it, or you're already expired. They're creating a sense of urgency. So you have to click on it or call the phone number, and then you end up talking to somebody in another country with an accent. Okay, so you know this is probably not McAfee. And they're requiring you to pay $500 for the lifetime subscription of whatever. And you argue, and they say, oh, sir, we discount it. We discount it to $99.99. And then you say, oh, that's a great deal. Lifetime antivirus for $99.99? Yes, sir, very much so. And then you pay it. So
if you talk to the same guy.
Yeah. But if you – and then you're not just giving him $99
right.
to start with. You're not going to get a product. And you've given a stranger your credit card number. This is a complete stranger.
Right.
Okay? It sounds really good. They said, but he said my firewall was down. I said, no, it wasn't. You don't even have, I mean, Windows has a built-in firewall to mm-hmm. keep people from hacking in your computer. Your router from Comcast or CenturyLink or whoever your provider is, they have a built-in firewall to keep people from hacking in. Your firewall is fine, but they use a lot of big words. Oh, your SCSI port is very SCSI, and we need to clean the SCSI off of the port, and you need to get this program to clean it. And so you think you need this, and you pay them $99, right? So you got to not pay them. It sounds – all these scams sound so legitimate. Okay, and you've just got to think twice. And you can ask somebody, call your nephew or mm-hmm. your neighbor, have your neighbor run over and says, is this pop-up real? Take a picture of it with your phone. People do this all the time with us. They'll call us and say, I got a pop-up and it told me to do something. Should I do it? Well, what does it say? I don't remember. Well, did it say Microsoft? I think it did, but maybe it didn't. So if you have a pop-up on your screen, mm-hmm. get your phone out and take a picture of it so you could talk legitimately to somebody else.
Sure.
Okay, we have people all the time coming in, and they say, something's not right on my computer. Okay, what's wrong? I don't know. I can't remember. We'll write it down next time and then bring in that note with you to tell us.
So what usually happens, you click on it, and you know it is one of these scams, and just by clicking on it, does your computer start running different at that instant, or is it over time? Or?
No, usually if you click on it, it's going to pop up a warning that says, warning, you're going to download something. This is dangerous.
And we still do
it. And you still do it. Okay, so it doesn't automatically go. It could,
right.
But most of them actually are downloading a program or something that's going to change your computer, and you're the one, I want to say idiot, you're the idiot that clicked on the button that said, do not click on this button.
Right.
It's very dangerous to do this. Oh, okay, and you click yes, right? And you got to think, that's how they're getting around it, though. You call a phone number, which is a 1-888 number, and they have typos usually. That's what gets me, and it's really funny, to read the typos that somebody has sent you.
Mm-hmm.
Dear blessed sir, we most heartedly want to help you, or something like that.
Yeah.
And so if you see that, that means it's probably written from somebody whose language is not English. Because see, and the reason they do that, nothing to do with people who don't speak English. It's because it's harder to prosecute somebody in another country, right? I can't go find the guy in the East that's done this scam. No idea. You could YouTube some things. There are some hackers that can reverse hack somebody. They let somebody remote into their computer, and they find a way to reverse hack into the call center. You know, they have call centers in other countries that teach people how to scam people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good customer service they're teaching. They're teaching you need to tell them there's something wrong with their SCSI port, right? Well, their parallel ports are not parallel anymore. And, you know, they get you to believe this stuff.
Right.
And you end up paying them thousands of dollars. I've had people scammed out of tens of thousands of dollars because they fell for one of these. I'm not kidding. Life savings. We had one lady, I read about it in the Washington Post or one of those places, that was scammed out of something like $200,000. She mortgaged her house because she was told by the FBI that this is what she needs to do to catch this criminal. Okay? And it went over a period of months, not just a quick phone call,
mm-hmm.
but they kept calling her back and had this whole scheme going for months. So they said, you're going to go to the bank. You got to get a line of credit, but don't tell them why you're getting the line of credit. That'll let the scammers know that we're on to them. Okay? They kept going on and on, and she sent these people $200,000.
Wow. So now we click on it, we see our computer's messed up, we bring it to you, then what's your first steps in once you feel like something's wrong?
First, we got to find out if they're still logged into your computer, and they usually are. If you let somebody into your
computer. Can you track that?
We can't track it
okay.
of where it came from. We could find an IP address, which is, it'll tell you somewhere in India or somewhere in Singapore, you know, but that doesn't help you find the guy.
Sure.
And the point is we just get the program off that's they put on there. I've had people with three programs on there before, three remote programs. That means this is the third time they've been scammed. They just called me the third time. I said, you got three programs running. People are in your computer. Oh, are they doing anything? I don't know. They've been on there for months. This one said it was installed 6 months ago. And there's ways you can capture people's passwords off the computer. So if you let somebody in there, one of my questions is, did they ever open a screen with a bunch of passwords on there? Because there are places in the computer that store all those passwords, little stars, you know? And you could go in there, you as a person or the scammer could go in there and see all of your passwords for mm-hmm. your bank, your IRA, your retirement account, your investments account. And if you do, you've got to change all those passwords. And my clients hate it when I say that you have to do that. They said, oh, it's really not that bad, is it? I said, yes. You may get identity theft in the next month, or you should just go change all your passwords for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
You got to log into First Bank. You got to change your password. You got to get, you know, this back and forth. It'll take you 15 minutes per password. And if they saw all your passwords, you should do this for all your accounts, which is a couple hours.
Sure. Once again, if you're just joining us, Scott Hinke is with us. It's OnSite Consulting, onsitedenver.com. That's O-N-S-I-T-E, denver.com. The phone number is 720-482-8383. One thing I want to mention before we get out today is your ability to transfer from one computer to another. Someone buys a new computer, and normally it changes a lot what the pages look like and where different things are that we're all used to. And yes, you did this for Victoria, my wife, and did an excellent job. But, man, I think she had this new computer for a year just because she was afraid. And we hadn't really talked about it much on the show, and that's why I always want to bring it up because there may be other folks like that. I think you're only – I mean, I don't know of anybody else that does it.
I don't know anybody either
and
that does it the way we do.
Yeah.
So what the way we used to do it was the way that everybody used to do it is we send somebody out to your house. Because I remember talking to your wife. She said, last time, Travis was here for 4 hours. You know how long it took him to get all my shortcuts in the right place? 4 hours. I said, I know. And Travis is a technician, and he's still with us. We had to go to move their data, like move their pictures and stuff. And then we go to their house and say, Victoria, what did your toolbar look like? Oh, I had First Bank and this and that. We had to go set up all those things. And all of your passwords are now gone too, right? The saved passwords. So we'd have to help people set that up, and we have to install your printer and your wireless and your solitaire and everything, right? It took 4 hours. So now we have this way that we can kind of like take a snapshot from one to another, and everything moves. Favorites, your passwords, your Wi-Fi, your printer settings. So your Wi-Fi passwords is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Everything. It moves over, and you get there and you go, wow, cool. And you're just up and running pretty quickly. That's what we're doing right now. I told you about this Windows 7 to Windows 7. We have to use this program to move all of his proprietary stuff to this other computer, and we use this special method that keeps every one of his icons and settings in the right place. And as far as I know, we checked with the company. We have a tool that we use, and we're the only ones in the state of Colorado that use it. I don't know why. Everybody should know about this, so I'm not going to tell everybody what we do. But it's awesome. All this stuff moves over. All your favorites, your history of the web pages you've been on and stuff like that. So we keep it. We know that people are upset when change happens. Mm-hmm. So we want to avoid that tire. We used to have to send somebody out to their house, even if we did this, and make sure everything's okay. Now we don't even do that. We say, okay, go home, plug it in. That's all you got to do when you get home. And that's what we did with your wife, Victoria.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. She was freaked out for 2 days, like, are you sure this is going to go okay? But we made her happy.
Exactly. I know. All right, last minute here, but people need to follow you on social media, Facebook and all, because, you list a lot of great deals there.
Yeah. We've got a YouTube channel, which is kind of good. We'll film some weird stuff that happens in the office, weird spiders that we find in computers and really weird stuff. So we got a YouTube channel. We have an Instagram. I think it's called Computer Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S. I don't know if that's it or not, so why don't you guys look it up? But you can contact us mainly through the office. We've got a website, OnSite Denver, and then we have our refurb area, and that's a whole different website, PCs for Seniors. PCS, 4 is the number 4, and then Seniors. You can see a lot of our computers there. We don't keep that website perfectly up to date because we sell so many every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just hard. It takes us longer to post a picture.
But you're talking computers, you're talking printers, you're talking...
Yeah, we don't do printers.
I meant monitors.
Printers are a pain. Yeah. Printers are a pain. Go buy another printer. And we don't fix printers. People ask us all the time, how can I get my printer fixed? We know one place in Denver, not too far from the station, that fixes printers, and it's going to be like $150.
Dude, like you say, go buy a new one.
Right? Yep. $150. Most. Yeah. So we could jiggle the printer for you and jiggle the cartridge and put it back in, but that's about all we do.
Exactly. Well, Scott, as always, thank you very much. Congrats again on being the best IT company in Colorado. Woo-hoo. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate it.
Hey, we only give you the best here on Haystack Help Radio, and Scott is it with his crew at OnSite Consulting. So, hey, you got any computer issues at all, give him a call, 720-482-8383, 6446 East Hamden. And once again, it's onsitedenver.com. Scott, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Hey, Dan. You know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer. You're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Before we get back to the show, let me remind you, coming up next is Food Chat. Hey, this is a great show, and you're going to learn a lot about food, where it comes from, food production. Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb will be with you, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for Food Chat.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesch continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesch of Flesch & Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now. 303-806-8886.
This is KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food, and here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. But he don't ever get rattled. He just goes till the sun goes down.
This is Gregory Bloom, and you are listening to Food Chat. Food Chat is about reconnecting you to your food, and it's on Wednesdays at 12:30 p.m. here at 560 KLZ. Food Chat is about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and just basically everything that's involved in getting food from the field to your plate. We interview farmers, ranchers, food processing companies, restaurant owners, chefs, and you'll learn a lot of things about food production and food preparation that you didn't know. Past episodes of Food Chat can be found at foodchat.us. Get reconnected to your food. Listen to Food Chat. Hey, today's show is all about bacon. And, you know, bacon has this cult following, I think, like unlike any other food group. I can't think of another food that has just this amazing following and all the cool things that come out of the love of bacon. So I have some bacon experts as guests, not only bacon experts, but pig raising experts, Tim and Nisa Beeler. Tim and Nisa, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Great. I would think it would be a great way to start, Tim, if you could just explain, before we get into bacon and how to cook bacon and all the different types of bacon and how the Beeler's bacon is different than some bacon found in the marketplace, let's talk about the Beeler family and how did you get started raising pigs?
Well, we got started raising pigs because we were born on a pig farm. And my brothers and I eventually bought the farm from our dad. We raised a lot of pigs. And one day we said, why are we raising these pigs just to sell to the commodity market? And it's an up and down market, and we need to do some niche marketing so we can control our livelihood and our future and create something sustainable for our families going forward. So our first venture was to open our own retail market in West Des Moines, Iowa. And at that time, we said, what's going to make us different? Why are people going to shop at our store? And the whole so-called natural complex was in its infancy then. So we decided to do that. We pulled all the antibiotics out of our rations that we were feeding our pigs and opened up a store in West Des Moines, Iowa in 1987 featuring our antibiotic-free pork. And while that was important at the time, I don't think it was as important as the fact that our customers loved the idea that we were the ones raising their food and they got to buy it direct from the farm to their table, so to speak. So that's how we got in it. We ran that store for 8 years. We sold it, and then we got into the wholesale business and started marketing our pork throughout the country to high-end grocery chains and very high-end restaurants.
I think your story is so unique today, Tim and Nisa, because I've talked about this fact on Food Chat before, is that when you go to if a consumer goes to a retail store today and picks up the package and looks at the brand name on the package at the retail store, most often it's the store brand now, or it's the name of the meat company brand, but very seldom is it the brand name of the farmer, actual family that's raising the meat anymore. That's kind of long gone, which is what makes your bacon and your pork products so unique in the marketplace, is that you're still raising the pigs. But I want to ask you, I grew up about pig production, because I grew up as a 4-H kid on a small 40-acre hobby farm, and I raised pigs, and just 3 to 5 a year, and then we slaughtered them, and I learned all about pigs and keeping all the records you have to do for 4-H. But you raise a specific breed of pig, and you raise them in a certain way, and I'd like you to talk about that, Tim, and then Nisa, you can chime in too.
Okay. Yes, we do raise a specific breed, and we selected a heritage Duroc. And the reason we selected the Duroc breed is because they're known for their carcass quality, and we wanted to bring flavor back into the pork items. And like you, we were, I was extremely involved in 4-H, and my dad's idea of a vacation was to hook onto a trailer and throw a pig in the back and the first kid that ran by, and we went off to some pig show. So we've been involved in the pig business a long time. My kids, Nissus, has shown pigs at the county fair, state fair, Exarban. So we're very involved in the pig business. But when we decided to do that, and we decided to market to the high-end segment of the market, we knew that our product had to be the best. So like I said, we selected Duroc. But then we worked with our geneticists to make sure that we were doing the right thing. We focused on bringing marbling back into the meat because that's what makes it tender. But our geneticists also said, you know, we can add all the marbling you want. You can have a tender but dry pork chop. So he said, you also got to focus on the pH level, which is the water holding capacity. So between the two, we feel that we have created a very tender and juicy pork chop that people absolutely love. And chefs all across this country from New York to San Francisco have told us, we don't know what you guys are doing, but please don't change because you have one phenomenal product.
And, you know, for people that don't know, and most of the listeners to this show, Tim, are urban dwellers and probably have never raised pigs, so they probably don't even know really what pigs eat. So why don't you explain just a little bit about what your pigs eat to gain weight?
Well, the most commonly used diet to raise pigs is corn. And, of course, in the state of Iowa, we raise plenty of corn.
Right.
And that is the energy source which makes the pigs gain weight. And then we add soybean meal made from soybeans, which is the protein source to help the muscle development and help the pigs grow. Also, now, we do not use any antibiotics or growth promotants or anything like that, so it takes our pigs longer to get to market. It'll take probably about an extra month, so they grow slow, ensuring that they have the time to make the fat deposition in their carcass to give it the flavor.
Right, and that kind of slow growth process is one reason, and there's other reasons, but one reason why your pork costs a little bit more than conventional pork, which is grown more to be more efficient and get to market quicker. I love this quote you have on your brochure by Benjamin Franklin. The quote by Ben Franklin is, "The bitterness of poor quality remains long after the sweetness of low price is forgotten." And I think that's a great quote.
Yeah. And I might also add, we use a corn soy diet, but we also feed our pigs non-GMO produced corn and soybeans. So that is spatial grain that costs more than the regular feed. That's another reason our product's a little bit higher. We also do not use gestation crates on our farm, so the sows have plenty of room to move around and roam around, and that's, again, an added cost. Anytime you do anything spatial outside the norm of typical pig production, the prices go up. But I think most people that try our product, after they, whether it's the pork chops, the bacon, the hams, the sausage, they realize that there is a difference and a difference worth paying for.
Yeah, and people that I sell your product to in the Colorado area, all they have to do is try it and they'll see there's a difference, whether it's the pork chops or the hams or the bacon or any of your products. So you can just taste the quality. So let's get into bacon though, because this is kind of the bacon show, and I want you to talk about what makes Beeler's bacon so good. And most people listening do not know how bacon is made, so why don't you kind of step through the process?
Okay, well, first of all, bacon is made out of the pork belly, and where the pork belly is on the side of the pig, And even though we don't crawl around on our hands and knees, the pig's body is very similar to a human. So if you would take your hand and put it right under your armpit and run it down to your waist, feel your ribs, the belly is what covers up those ribs. So when the carcass is processed, that belly is peeled off of the ribs. Our bellies are inspected and selected for bacon production. If the belly is too thin or too wide or too narrow, it does not go into our bacon production. So the bellies are kind of hand-selected, and then the ones that are selected are even go through a trimming process to trim off excess fat or excess lean if it's not where it's supposed to be and kind of square them up. Then they are sent to the bacon production plant where they are injected with a natural solution of water, salt, sea salt, celery powder, and turbinado sugar. Then they are allowed to sit in that solution for about 8 hours. Then they go into a smokehouse and are in the smokehouse for 5 to 6 hours, during which time the smoke is applied for about 4 hours. And it is all natural smoke, wood smoke, no artificial smoke or flavor. And we use a virgin white hickory, a very specific hickory wood, to smoke our bacon, which gives it a tremendous aroma without being overpowering or bitter. When it comes out of the smokehouse, of course, it has to go into a cooler to be cooled down, and this is all regulated by USDA, and it has to come down to a certain degree before they can slice it and pack it, and it has to be cool, obviously, before it goes into a package. Otherwise, if it goes into that package warm, it's going to deteriorate. So all of that is monitored at the plant. They have temp gauges on everything, so they know exactly when that is accomplished and when they can slice and pack.
Okay. So it's quite a process. It's not easy. I mean, there's people I see online trying to make their own bacon, but and that's one thing we didn't try to do, Tim, when we're on the farm, is we didn't try to cure our own meat. We would send that off to a local locker because we didn't have the smokehouse and the setup and all that. And it's quite a process. It's quite laborious.
It is a process. And we try to keep it very, very simple. We just use very few ingredients, and we use all natural ingredients. We do not add the commercial sodium nitrite or sodium phosphates. Like I said, it's celery powder, sea salt, and turbinado sugar.
Right. Very simple ingredient statement. Hey, Anissa, I have a question for you. I want to ask you about why you think bacon has this kind of cult-like following. Like, if you go to Amazon and you type in bacon gifts, there's so many different things about bacon. And even Charlie, our producer here, was telling me before the show about an America Funniest Home Video he saw where this little kid who could just barely talk is having a tantrum because they're out of bacon at the house. So what is it about bacon, do you think, that's just so special?
Greg, you know what? I think that people love bacon, one, because it is delicious, and two, because it marries, you know, that meat, but also the fat content. You know, a lot of people are afraid of that, but that brings some of that flavor, that juiciness. You can, you know, and the funny thing about bacon is people like it a lot of different ways, but it's one of those things that I don't think there's a wrong way. You can have chewy bacon, you can have crispy bacon, but no matter what kind it is, it's always going to be delicious. And I will say that my kids are some of those kids that need their bacon. You know, they are upset if we are out, and, you know, 9 out of 10 mornings, I will say, what do you want for breakfast this morning? And bacon is their number one choice.
Yeah, that's right. It is delicious, and it's such a great supplement to a lot of other foods, like a burger. I mean, I really don't enjoy a burger without bacon on it, and I really don't enjoy my breakfast on Sunday morning before I go to church without some Beeler's bacon on the side. So it's just one of those things you have to have. In fact, there's a comedian, Tim Gaffigan, if you've ever seen his skit on bacon, but he has like a couple great lines about bacon. Actually, he talks about it for about 10 minutes, but one of the things he says is, can you ever make too much bacon? No, you can never make too much bacon. And so I want to talk about cooking bacon, among other things, this morning. So let's talk about the best ways to cook bacon. I think, Anissa, most people think of the stovetop and the skillet. That's probably the way they grew up watching mom or grandma cook bacon. But I think there's a better way to cook bacon. But what do you think? You're the bacon expert. Tell us about cooking bacon.
Well, let me tell you, I have cooked bacon probably every way possible. And I find that each way has their own, preference or you know, it's really relative to what you're doing with the bacon. So if I'm going to make a lot of bacon and I want it all done pretty uniform, I'm going to go ahead and line a sheet pan with some parchment paper and do it in my oven. It is mess-free. There's no splattering. There's, very little cleanup involved in that. And it's super easy because you just lay it out, you throw it in the oven, and it's done. Now, if I'm just fixing one or two slices, I may pull out the frying pan. The frying pan is probably my least favorite just because of the splatters and the crackling and that kind of thing. So that's probably my least favorite. But in the recent times, and these may be things people have in their home, they might be collecting dust. You might not know what to do with it. But there are several other things you can do. If you have a George Foreman grill, you can put a few slices in there. And again, it's pretty mess-free. No splatters, no popping, none of that, and it will cook it pretty uniform. Another thing you can do with it is you can throw it in an air fryer. Again, pretty mess-free, no splattering, and it's quick and easy. Lastly, you can microwave it, but there's some tricky parts about microwaving. If you have really thick sliced bacon like ours, sometimes it's hard to achieve that crunchy, crispy bacon that some people like. So that's my least favorite behind pan frying, just because it's very difficult to get it done to the right consistency.
Right. I prefer the oven method for a couple reasons. One is I can batch cook all the bacon I need for all week long for my BLTs and my breakfast, and I can put that bacon in my refrigerator and eat it cold, which is delicious, or I can just throw it in the microwave in a Ziploc bag and heat it up for 30 seconds and it's hot and crispy again. But the other thing I like about the oven method, Nisa, and I want you to talk about which temperature you'd recommend. I'm cooking mine at 350, but is that I can put two pans of bacon in there and put one on the top shelf and one on the bottom. And the one on the bottom, closer to the heating element, it's going to get a little crispier. And my wife likes her bacon a little crispier than I do. I like mine a little chewy, actually. So I can achieve both. And then the cleanup is just so easy with the parchment paper because you don't have to scrub the whole pan or whatever you're cooking with. So let's talk about temperature and how long you typically leave it in. I know it depends on factors like how hot your oven is. And if you opened your oven and looked at the bacon, which you should never do. But what do you recommend for cooking time and temp, Nisa?
So I usually do mine like you at 350 and, about 20 to 30 minutes, just kind of peeking at it. And like you said, how done you want it. Now, if you are absolutely sure that you want it, that crispy bacon, you can always up that temperature. I have had people say that they do it at 450. Now that scares me a little bit because I don't like my bacon so crispy and crunchy. And if you're doing 450, you probably need to be keeping a pretty close eye on that bacon and, definitely check it at that 10-minute point because you definitely don't want to burn a whole pan of bacon. That's a sure way to ruin your day. But, 375, you can knock 5 to 10 minutes off, and you're going to – the higher the heat, you're going to get that more crunchy bacon. It's just – you really want to be sure not to burn or, dry out the meaty portions of that bacon in the oven.
Which I've done. I'm sad to say I've ruined some really good Beeler's bacon before because I left the kitchen and didn't set the kitchen timer at 15 or 20 minutes so I'd remember to go back and check on it. So it's easy to do, right? So we're not cooking with a crock pot here. It's in the oven, so you got to watch it. But, hey, Tim, let's talk about some of the great flavors that Beeler's bacon comes in. And also you have kind of an unusual bacon, I think, because a lot of bacon manufacturers in this country, again, these are mostly meat plants, not farms, but your British back bacon. So talk about how the British back bacon is made different than your other bacons and then some of your flavors.
Okay, well, the British back bacon is not made from the belly. It is actually made from the pork loin. It's extremely popular bacon overseas. In Britain and some of the other European countries, they call our regular bacon over there, they call it streaky bacon. But we made that for a company that came in the United States years ago, made from the pork loin. It's kind of a, similar to a Canadian bacon, made the same recipe, has a little bit different flavor to it. But our number one selling bacon today is still our hickory smoked bacon. And then behind it, we make an applewood smoked bacon, made the same way, except it's smoked with applewood. Then we do some very unique flavors. A real popular one is our pepper bacon, which is made out of our hickory smoked bacon, but we rub pepper onto it. Then another option over that is we took that pepper bacon and added garlic to it. So it's a garlic pepper bacon. We do a black forest bacon that is really good and really unique, a little bit on the sweet side for people that like sweet bacons.
You also have, Tim, excuse me for interrupting, but you also have a sugar-free option for those that are trying to keep their sugar down, right?
Yes, and that one, again, is made from our hickory smoked bacon. We just pulled out the turbinado sugar, so it's sugar-free. And a lot of people today are looking for those types of items.
Nisa, I have talked to you. Go ahead, Nisa.
Yeah, last but not least, we also have a jalapeno bacon, and that one is great. It uses real jalapenos in it, so there are some green flecks in there, but it is going to give you that kick. It's not overwhelmingly spicy, but it's going to give you some kick. And so it's an excellent addition to like a burger or a BLT or something like that. And with some of those flavored bacons, like the garlic pepper bacon, that is a great addition to dishes that maybe need just a little something to them. So like a spaghetti carbonara, it goes really great in there, or a salad, like a chicken salad. You throw that garlic pepper bacon in, it just gives it a little something extra.
Yeah, that's what I love to do with that bacon. Both the pepper and the garlic pepper is batch cook it, and then I cut it with a knife on a cutting board into, you know, quarter inch pieces, throw it in a bag, and use it all week long for salads, just on top of my salads. I usually eat a salad every day, but I put some Beeler's bacon on top just to make it taste better, and it's just delicious. Nisa, what other, most people I think, you know, think of bacon like bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches, which are awesome, but then bacon and eggs. But what are some other more, unique ways of using bacon that you've seen?
Well, so I will tell you, just last night I made a bacon cheeseburger pasta, and it was delicious. I think bacon just adds a little something to everything. And so it is so versatile. It can be used in a breakfast casserole. It can be used on your salad. It can be used in, like I said before, spaghetti carbonara as a burger topper. You know, I really don't think there's a dish that bacon doesn't make better. And I'm just trying to think of some other, you know, even something like a chicken salad, you know, the type that has the mayo and all that. You know, you put a little bacon in there and, man, that is going to just add something to it. And any sandwich or casserole, you pretty much can't go wrong adding some bacon to it.
You can never go wrong. Go ahead, Tim.
I might add, out there in Colorado, I know there's a lot of people that go camping, not only in Colorado, but throughout the entire country, and throw a little bacon on the campfire. Take an old cast iron skillet, put some bacon in there, get a stick and just stir it around, and it'll cook extremely fast due to the heat of the campfire, but it gives it a whole different twist, whole different flavor, gives it that campfire-y type flavor. And I know we sell a lot of bacon to people in big bulk packages when they're going to go off on a week camping trip. It works great over the campfire.
Yeah, and most people listening to this might be used to seeing your bacon in a retail package, either a 12-ounce package or a 16-ounce package. You call that a stack pack. Is that called a stack pack because the bacon is stacked on top of each other, the slices? Is that way it's called that?
But you also
pack it for food service in a layout bacon. You don't call it, what do you call your layout bacon?
We just call it layout bacon, but that's packed in 15-pound cases. But for campers, we have a what we call a platter style, which is a stack pack, and there's two 7.5-pound packages in a case. So it you only have to handle two packages to throw in your cooler when you take off to go camping or something like that. Or a lot of restaurants use it too if they don't want to cook an entire sheep pen.
Right. Yeah, that's a great pack. I do love that pack for bigger applications. You're not opening up all those little packages if you're trying to cook a lot of bacon at one time. Hey, Tim, one thing that you're famous for too is your bratwurst. Now tell us, your bratwursts are great. They're awesome. But they have a secret ingredient that's not so secret anymore, because I'm going to ask you to tell us, what are you putting in those brats to make them taste so good?
That is kind of a secret ingredient.
Yeah, but I'm getting at you. Don't you put bacon in your brats?
Yes, we put a little bacon in the bratwurst. That bratwurst is we have a cult following on our bratwurst, and that bratwurst was brought over from Germany. My great-great-grandfather came here from Germany, and when he came, he brought his own bratwurst recipe. Now, we had to tweak it just a little bit to put our own name on it, but part of that tweak was adding some bacon ends to it. And it's in a natural casing, and people that try it say, wow, that's as close to a German bratwurst as I've had since I left Germany. And you talk about a product. I just did some of those last week on a campfire. And on a campfire, the heat is a little bit stronger, as I said, and it stiffens up that natural casing and gives it just a nice crackle and pop. And if you've never tried Beetle Bratwurst, I encourage you to go get some of those. And out there in Colorado, natural grocery stores handle those. So you can go to any of those stores and get our bratwurst, and you will not be sorry.
No, they're delicious, and they're addictive, and I've had so many people tell me they'll never go back to eating another brat because they can't find one that tastes that good. And it's a very unique thing, too, to find a bratwurst in the market that's not the meat plant's name or the store brand's name. It's actually the family that's raising the pig's name. Very unusual. So, again, just like your bacon. So, well, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on Food Chat. I hope this show, those that listen to it, are just excited to go try some Beeler's bacon and some brats if they never have before. So thank you so much, and we'll have you on in the future. You guys have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. It was a pleasure being on.
Today's show is brought to you by RanchFreshMeats.com. Ranch Fresh Meats buys the best quality, locally sourced products that we can find in the marketplace. Most of them are sourced from family farms like the Beelers that we know personally. Hey, you can find Beeler's bacon, actually a sampler box in two sizes, which contains the Bacon Lovers package, which includes the best, my favorite, Beeler's flavors of bacon. So go to RanchFreshMeats.com, and you can also sign up for a free case of Beeler's bacon on a giveaway that we do every week. Go to RanchFreshMeats.com.
Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.